know we were talking about clubs on a recent show, trying to figure out if there were any here in Hudson for the middle school. I'm not sure what I'm most excited for. I'm excited for this coming month. My mom, my sister, and my niece are going to come visit here in Hudson. And so I get to show them around. And my niece is really excited to see the library. She's seen little bits of it on Zoom in the past, but she's never been here. And my sister hasn't either, because the last time my sister was here, we still were in the old library building. So it'd be fun to
Are
show
you,
them.
is this the niece from Abu Dhabi?
Yes, they're in the States for the summer.
Oh, cool. What about your nephew?
He's not coming. He and my brother-in-law are not coming for this extra trip. So I saw everybody at the beginning of July, but now they're out on the West Coast. And then my sister and my niece will come back for an extra trip. It'll be
Awesome.
a little girl's trip, with my mom,
That's
my sister, and me. Although my husband will be there too sometimes, but he's cool. So, but anyways, it was great to see you all, and we thank everyone out there for listening.
yes. We'll be back next week to talk about some more books, and thank you for listening, because that's what makes this show possible.
If you love radio as much as we do, we encourage you to become a sustaining supporter of WGXC. You can give a very small amount every month and support the station and keep radio shows like Bound by Books on the air. You can give, I forget what the smallest amount is, but it's very small. The smallest amount that you
$5,
can give.
as little as $5.
I think you can even give less, but $5 is a great minimum.
Oh yeah, I think you can also give like $1 a month. I mean, you can go as little as that. And also, you can just do a one-time donation if you're feeling more comfortable with that. And yeah, whatever you give, we all really appreciate it because it's what keeps this show running.
And all the other great shows on WGXC
Yeah,
too.
keeps this station up and running.
Yeah, to become a sustaining supporter, you can go to wgxc.org/donate. You can also check out the website, see the news, see what other shows are on. You can listen live on the website. You can also listen to archives of old shows. So if you missed an episode of Bound by Books and you want to catch up, you can listen online, as well as to all of our other favorite shows on the radio. But yeah, check it out, wgxc.org. It's a great site and a great radio station that we love so much. But thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back next week to talk about some more books. In the meantime,
Happy
happy
reading.
reading.
tune in to all sorts of live radio shows every Sunday on WGXC 90.7 FM, beginning at 8 a.m., where the Reverend Kim Singletary is live with There's a Bright Side Somewhere from Columbia County, every Sunday at 8 a.m. Then at 9 a.m., Janessa Hope McKay brings you a slap of reality live from the WGXC studio in Hudson in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. She's playing her top music pick and talking about her hot topics of the week until 11 a.m. At 1 p.m. every Sunday, DJ Neva Wartell is live with Music for the Masses from Catskill, with sounds from around the world. At 4 p.m. every Sunday, Carlene Murphy and Azuka Legba are live with the Lile Latan version of the WGXC Afternoon Show until 6 p.m. And every Sunday night, Tony Fallon is live with the Irish Show at 8 p.m. on the radio from Acre on 90.7 WGXC.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up, and didn't know where he was.
Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years. Offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Mary Jo Downing of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Next on What's the Frequency, Kenneth?
Well, I wish the scientists had been wrong in their predictions. Going back decades now, Chuck, all I have done is really convey the scientific facts as the scientists have patiently explained them to me.
I'm Paul Fisher.
But the fact that they were dead right, if a little conservative, actually, in some of the impacts are occurring more harshly and more frequently than they predicted, but they were pretty much spot on.
It was somewhat disconcerting, to say the least, to see Al Gore, a generation later, on the climate predictions he made then, now come to pass. He and the climate scientists predicted extreme weather would get more extreme and more frequent. As in wildfires in Europe and triple-digit heat in Paris in the UK. Record heat waves across the U.S. Deepening drought in farm country. Fire season in the West that now runs year-round. Once in 100-year weather events, now year in, year out.
And because they were, we should listen more carefully to what they're telling us would happen if we don't quickly reduce the global warming pollution emissions that are causing this global emergency. it's due to get much, much worse. And quickly. But we have the ability to stop temperatures from going up. If we got to true net zero, the temperatures on Earth would stop going up with a lag time of as little as 3 to 5 years, almost as if we flipped a switch. And if we stayed at true net zero, then half of the human-caused CO2 emissions would fall out of the atmosphere in as little as 25 to 30 years. And we have the solutions available.
Right.
We need to deploy them quickly. Well, the United States must step up and provide leadership. And of course, President Biden's been trying to do that. He has a 50-50 Senate, really a 49-51 Senate on everything related to the climate, and a razor-thin majority in the House. You know, Abraham Lincoln once said that with public sentiment, everything is possible. Without it, nothing can succeed. The rest of us need to step up. The one thing that Senator Manchin said that I really agree with is that if we want more pro-climate policies, we need to elect more pro-climate senators and representatives in both parties. And we've got an election coming up, and this is time for all of us to step up.
And speaking of inconvenient truths... Al Gore, a generation ago, had his contested election for president decided by a single vote. A 5-4 Supreme Court ruling. That gave the Oval Office to Bush the Younger. Al Gore conceded and told supporters to let it stand for the good of the country. He didn't send them to attack the Capitol, didn't spend the next 4 years hammering election fraud and stop the steal and demanding to be handed the Oval Office back. So, what does Al Gore think now about what he did then?
Did you ever, in the time since, that speech that you gave, conceding election, I don't need to remind you, you won the popular vote. You were within a few hundred votes in Florida. You were challenging, pushing for recounts. When it was over, you conceded, and then you presided over George W. Bush's electoral certification, the certification of his victory.
How long until the stitches dissolve? Can you feel it in your fingertips? The pain repeats.
Watching what you saw unfold, did you think back to that?
Well, of course, but all I did is what Winston Churchill once said about the American people. The American people generally do the right thing after first exhausting every available alternative. That's really all I did.
Repeats, repeats. Gets worse than that, my friend. Wait till it hurts every time your heart beats. Twisting and turning. The deep tissue burning. Tightness in the bone.
the Constitution required what I did.
The radiating pain. There's no distractions. There's no relief. Yeah, no relief. Can you feel it in your fingertips?
And there's nothing really extraordinary about it. Was it personally difficult? Well,
the pain repeats, repeats, repeats. It gets worse than that, my friend. Wait till it hurts every time your heart beats.
You know, when the fate of the country and the traditions and honor of our democracy are at stake, it's not really a difficult choice.
You can't get away from the fact that the January 6th committee hearings are taking place against the backdrop of the midterm elections. Pence and Trump stumping in the same states, but for different Republicans. Trump for Trumpers and Pence for Republican Republicans. And also testing the waters for themselves in 24. Trump is especially blatant about it.
I ran twice, I won twice.
Get on your soapbox.
And did much better the second time than I did the first, getting millions more votes in 2020 that we got in 2016. And likewise getting more votes than any sitting president in the history of our country by far.
Clean. I hear the drums of opposition and feel in beer. Well, there's no.
And now we may have to do it again.
Common sense is failing. Turn on the gaslight.
Up the ante a few days later with his first speech back in D.C. since he left office.
And Mark, I have to start by asking you this. Why invite Trump back to Washington after he tried to pull off a coup on January 6th?
Well, he's still the leader of the America First movement. Biggest name. He's the visionary behind many of the policies that got him elected to the White House. And when you look at what's going on in America right now, so many people are clamoring for that kind of leadership, that policy leadership back. They want cheap gas, growing paychecks, soaring stock markets, and not what we have right now.
Get on your soapbox.
Thank you.
So to give voice to that agenda, to lay it out for the congressional midterms and beyond, I think there's nobody better than the former president to be able to do that.
But it's like he's returning to the scene of the crime.
Oh, thank you very much. Wow. Thank you.
Whether you see it as a preview tease for September or a postscript to the last hearing. The Jan 6 committee has released more deposition videos showing Trump's resistance to criticize the Capitol attackers or say the election was over in his speech on January 7th.
I'm not sure when those conversations began because they could have started early the next morning, but I believe they started that evening, on the evening of the 6th.
I thought we should give the statement on the 7th. And obviously move forward on transition. I sat with her, I spoke to Miller about trying to put together some draft remarks for Jan 7 that we were going to present to the president to try to say we felt like it was important to further call for de-escalation.
From what I understood at the time and from what the reports were coming in, there's a large concern of the 25th Amendment potentially being invoked, and there were concerns about what would happen in the Senate if the 25th was invoked. So the primary reason that I had heard, other than, you know, we did not do enough on the 6th, we need to get a stronger message out there and condemn this. Otherwise this will be your legacy. The secondary reason to that was, think about what might happen in the final 15 days of your presidency if we don't do this. There's already talks about invoking the 25th Amendment. You need this as cover.
Do you recognize what this is?
It looks like a copy of a draft of the remarks for that day.
Okay. And as you can see throughout the document, there are lines crossed out. There are some words added in. Do you recognize the handwriting?
It looks like my father's handwriting.
In my view, he needed to express very clearly that the people who committed violent acts, went into the Capitol, did what they did, should be prosecuted and should be arrested.
It looks like here that he crossed out that he was directing the Department of Justice to ensure all lawbreakers are prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. We must send a clear message. Not with mercy, but with justice. Legal consequences must be swift and firm. Do you know why he wanted that crossed out?
I don't know.
And that needed to be stated. They did not represent him or his political views in any form or fashion.
He also has crossed out, I want to be very clear, you do not represent me. You do not represent our movement. You remember, do you know why he crossed that language out of the statement?
I don't know.
Can you describe a little more for me about what Mr. Kushner was asking you to do?
I don't remember if it was a video message or a speech he was going to give or something, but I know people were deciding like what he should say or what he should do. he knew, since I'm always with him, that, hey, if he asks your opinion, you know, try to nudge this along. This will help everything cool down. So that's what I mean.
Nudge it along in what way? What does that mean?
To make sure he delivers this speech or whatever it was. I don't know if it was a video or a speech or something. It was either, it was within a few days of, after January 6th.
Was the implication that the president was in some ways reluctant to give that speech?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you base that on?
The fact that somebody has to tell me to nudge it along.
Trump's strategy is pretty in your face. Of course, it's to change the subject. And claim he's the victim of political interference. And Trump is weighing an early announcement that he's running before the midterms. Many in the GOP would rather he wait until after the midterms to announce, because declaring early might underscore Democrats' talking points. That the Trumpers must not be allowed to regain control of Congress, let alone state and local positions that would give them power over election results, not to mention school boards. As to Trump trying to announce early to avoid charges for January 6th, AG Merrick Garland said this.
We are entering a zone here where if there are charges brought against a former president related to January 6th, DOJ could be accused of playing politics. How is the department, how are you weighing that? Also, do you think that there is a constitutional question mark here? About whether you charge a former president for actions allegedly taken during his term.
Okay, look, no person is above the law in this country. Nothing stops us.
Even a former president.
I don't know how to, maybe I'll say that again. No person is above the law in this country. Nothing in the principles of prosecution, in any other factors which prevent us from investigating anyone, anyone who's criminally responsible for an attempt to undo a Democratic election.
I sure as hell hope they have a criminal investigation at this point into Donald Trump. I have no direct knowledge of the status of their investigations.
We must let the clamp do what the clamp does best.
But what I'd say is, I can tell the Department of Justice is watching our hearings closely. There have been cases for criminal defendants who've been charged and found guilty for events on January 6th, and they have actually quoted testimony from the January 6th witnesses and hearings.
We must let the clamp do what the clamp does best.
So You know, Merrick Garland has already told us he's listening, and if he's watching today, I tell him he doesn't need to wait on us because I think he has plenty to keep moving forward.
Well, the Attorney General is committed to following the evidence wherever it may lead, and it has led to Donald Trump.
Well, I'm sorry, Henry. He doesn't look anything like Jesus at all.
And so I think the president should be investigated. Whether they'll ultimately conclude they have proof beyond a reasonable doubt to charge him and to convict him, that will be up to the department.
Did you ever get to ask what on earth he meant by?
But what we have demonstrated just in the last couple of hearings is that when all else failed, when all these other lines of effort to overturn the election failed, he made the decision to bring a mob to the Capitol.
But it is for this that God has gave us both the night.
When he learned they were armed, his response was, then take the magnetometers down. He wanted to march with that mob, that armed and dangerous mob, to the Capitol. And when he was refused and brought to the safety of the cafeteria or the dining room in the White House, mm-hmm. he wouldn't lift a finger as he watched on TV police officers being beaten and gouged and sprayed with chemicals in, you know, the most supreme dereliction of duty ever. But also, those multiple lines of effort, I think, invoke various criminal laws, and his conduct ought to be the subject of investigation.
Mitch McConnell was also asked the impact if Trump announced a presidential bid early.
Yeah. If Donald Trump weren't in the building, how would
I think we're going to have a crowded field for president. I assume that most of that will unfold later, and people will be picking their candidates during a crowded primary field.
If a crowded GOP presidential field sounds good, consider this. Seeking the GOP nomination, the more likely his rivals will split the vote, leaving Trump as the default nominee.
Hello, I'm Dan Rather. and you're listening to What's the Frequency, Kenneth? With musical host Paul Fisher in New York City.
Says it will be back with one or more new hearings after the August recess.
Here we are, saying goodbye.
Topic or topics to be determined.
Summer vacation is taking.
The committee hasn't voted yet on whether to refer Trump to the Justice Department for criminal charges. But individual members aren't shy about sharing their opinions on that.
It does, look, we have no special indication, obviously, into what DOJ is doing. They're two separate investigations, but it does feel like in the last few months since we've started presenting our evidence that there is a significant amount more movement in DOJ. I, of course, have to wonder, what were they doing the last year and a half? But, I'm not going to complain because I think, look, we never want to, and this is important, we never want to get in a position as a country, what you see in failed democracies, where every last administration is prosecutor. But there is a massive difference between I'm going to prosecute the last administration for political vengeance and not prosecuting an administration that literally attempted a failed coup. That is a precedent I'm way more concerned about, is if there is evidence that this happened from a judicial perspective, if there's the ability to move forward on prosecuting and you don't. You have basically set the floor for future behavior of any president, and I don't think a democracy can survive that. So I certainly hope they're moving forward. I certainly think there's evidence of crimes, and I think it goes all the way up to Donald Trump.
Well, the goal of the committee and our obligation is our legislative purpose of looking at whether or not, for example, we need enhanced criminal penalties for the kind of activity Donald Trump engaged in when he attempted to pressure the Georgia officials, or, for example, whether we might need enhanced criminal penalties for something like the supreme dereliction of duty that we saw from President Trump on January 6th. So that's our obligation. That's our responsibility. This was a fundamental assault and an attack on our democracy. We had a president who sent a mob that he knew was armed to the Capitol. To attack and invade while we were counting electoral votes, delay the count of those votes. While the attack was underway, it is unquestionable that he did not tell them to go home for hours. And investigating that attack and what led to it and what we need to do legislatively to make sure it never happens again is our fundamental responsibility.
Sure, look, I worry about everything that has happened for the last few years, and really I worry about everything that could happen in the future, and that includes things like you know, what happens if a president's running for office and he's indicted? How does that feel? But the converse of that is, what happens if we don't do anything? What happens if we look and say, well, he's running again, we're concerned how it's going to look? So that, like, whole coup attempt thing, let's just put that behind us and hope it never happens again, because it will happen again.
So do you believe that former President Trump should face charges?
I believe that's a decision the Justice Department will make. I believe that the former president is responsible for a more significant breach of his constitutional duty than any president in our history. I think that what you've seen, and remember, our testimony has come primarily from Republican witnesses. From Republicans in Donald Trump's Justice Department. Republicans in his campaign, from Republicans in his White House, people who have come forward to say that he attempted to overturn an election. The election was not stolen, that there was no evidence of fraud sufficient to overturn the election. Even Rudy Giuliani, his lawyer, made clear that he did not have sufficient evidence to overturn the election. It simply wasn't stolen. Donald Trump has preyed on the patriotism of honorable and good people all across this country with the big lie. And it's very important for people to understand that it's simply not true.
As for what subjects the committee is still looking into, the Secret Service is higher on the list. Including those missing and deleted texts from January 5th and 6th.
Because they put out statements saying they're more than willing to testify under oath. Are they not? Yeah, I will tell you this much. The committee, there's always back and forth negotiations. The committee is more than welcome, if they will testify under oath, to throw the doors wide open for them and welcome them at any moment. It is not our decision that they haven't so far. What we have is a very credible witness in Cassidy Hutchinson talk about what she had heard. She's just saying, hey, this is what had been told to me. She did it under oath in front of millions and millions of people. And you hear anonymous sources, some which may actually be the people of interest themselves, coming forward and saying, oh, no, that's not true, but unwilling to do it under oath. Now, this is all a sideshow, the question of what happened in the limo, but it does go to the fact that what Donald Trump and his people do is they try to say somebody begged them for a job.
I love you like I love white supremacists and people who still steal from small businesses.
businesses. I love you like the bully who made fun.
Or somebody begged him for an endorsement.
Me doubt my worth and capability.
Or this little part of the story isn't true, to try to discredit a witness. And they're failing at this too. They're flailing around. Cassidy Hutchison will go down in history.
I love you like the people paid to rip me off, like Usenet malware and used car dealerships. I love you like big oil lobby.
As a hero, and she never sought to. She's just a young woman telling the truth with more courage than the vast majority of men in politics today.
We have already heard testimony from them.
I love you like airport security, the harsh words, cattle call, and lotions in a landfill.
I expect that we will again. Mr. Ornato has retained private criminal defense counsel. And we've seen that also with respect to one other Secret Service agent. I think that's significant. But we do anticipate not just them, certainly them, but largely what's happened at the Secret Service. And I say this as someone who has huge respect for the Secret Service. I was protected by them for 8 years. But the extent to which there are no text messages from the relevant period of time, the extent to which we have not had the kind of cooperation that we really need to have. Those are all things the committee is going to be looking at in more detail in the coming
weeks. Yeah, we do. I mean, look, we have access to, at least from what we understand, all of it. We understand with the text message situation, you know what's going on there. There's some stuff that we still need to get. So as far as we know, we have everything. We've presented just bits of that. And I think both the report and any future hearings, we can explore in more depth all of that. But I think it's clear that they were very worried for the life of the vice president. And the President of the United States sat in the dining room and said, let's see where this goes. And when he finally realized it wouldn't work, then he gave a mealy-mouthed statement saying, you guys should go home.
Committee is also still interested in hearing from Ginny Thomas, wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, who sent messages to Mark Meadows and John Eastman. And Arizona state officials. Aimed at overturning the election.
We are. The committee is engaged with her counsel. We certainly hope that she will agree to come in voluntarily, but the committee is fully prepared to contemplate a subpoena if she does not. I hope it doesn't get to that. I hope she will come in voluntarily. We've certainly spoken with numbers of people who are similarly situated in terms of the discussions that she was having that you've mentioned. So it's very important for us to speak with her, and as I said, I hope she will agree to do so voluntarily, but I'm sure we will contemplate a subpoena if she won't.
Also, the committee is still exploring links between Trump and company and the extremist groups that attack the Capitol.
We still haven't seen a direct link substantiated. Between the White House officials and the militias like the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. Who were part of the violence that day. Are you still trying to substantiate that?
That remains an ongoing part of our investigation.
I've been thinking a lot lately.
We have certainly shown some links between the president, the key advisors like Roger Stone and Mike Flynn, and elements of these white nationalist groups. But that component of our investigation continues, and
I've been missing a lot lately.
As is the case more broadly, witnesses continue to come forward. We'll be presenting new information in the fall. As we continue to ask about additional evidence, I think we really need to think about what we've demonstrated already. About the president's knowledge that the election wasn't stolen, and his response and his intent. And to me, that is most graphically demonstrated when he told top Justice Department officials basically to say, just say the election was stolen, or just say it was corrupt, and that he would take care of the rest.
Right.
Those kind of pieces of testimony bear directly on the president's knowledge and intent. And this gets back to your previous question about the Justice Department. I hope they're watching. I hope they're watching carefully. And I hope they understand the implications of what we're presenting.
This is Mission Control Houston. The hatch to the Poisk airlock is open.
Spacewalks outside the International Space Station hardly draw attention anymore. But this one did.
You are looking live at the Poisk module on the space-facing side of the Russian segment of the International Space Station.
Featuring a Russian cosmonaut and an Italian one.
Where a veteran Russian cosmonaut and a veteran European astronaut are suited up in Russian Orlan spacesuits. Ready to begin a planned 6.5-hour spacewalk to continue outfitting the European robotic arm that is attached to the Nauka multipurpose laboratory module.
They spent 7 hours installing a new robotic arm outside the station.
Near the EV hatch. You are able to read the instructions.
So, why the interest? For one thing, it was the first joint spacewalk of a Russian and a European in 20 years. It came a couple of weeks after Putin replaced the head of Roscosmos, the Russian space agency, with a one-time deputy.
The suits are also tethered inside MRM-2, correct? Confirm.